I don't know if you saw this. I don't know how true these stats are, but it sounds right to me. How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Okay, you've learned. That's good. This is some fascinating stats. 80% of all resolutions fail by February. I get that. Only 8 to 9% of people stick with their resolutions for the entire year. 23% of people quit the first week. Reminds me of somebody that signs up for Curve, signs up, never goes back. Another 43% will quit by the end of January, and the statistics say the second Friday in January is often cited as the most day that people quit. So there's a lot of New Year's resolutions. Some people say they want to lose weight. Some say they want to work out more. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Trey Gowdy. He used to be a senator. He was asked, what's your New Year's resolutions? And he said, to eat more and work out less. Some want to eat healthy. I think that's good. Some want to improve their educational status. Yep. Some want to create a budget and stick to it. That's probably a pretty good idea. And some want to read more. Actually, I just ordered a book on President Taft. It'll be here tomorrow, and I'm gonna read it, hopefully. But yeah, we make New Year's resolutions, and they mostly fail. Some people stay with it a lot, but most of them do not. And the sermon title this morning is New Year's Revolution, not Resolution. And so we're going to get into Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 really is about discerning the will of God. To avoid unfruitful works, and I'm just leading up to where we're at in Scripture, to avoid unfruitful works, to avoid godless philosophies, to walk as children of light. Actually, this light and darkness metaphor, this wise and unwise, shows up many times. Darkness 3 times and light 5 times. So in light of this, Paul's going to give us something, and I think it's a really good New Year's resolution. It's in your bulletin, and it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So as we pick that up, we're going to look at what Paul writes here today. First of all, he tells us to watch our behavior, and we start with caution. Look carefully then how you walk. You think on the surface that's just a simple little command, but when you dig down, the word look is blepo in the Greek, which means to be aware or to pay attention carefully to something. So Paul's telling us as we live our lives that we're to look carefully, to pay careful attention to the world around us, to the situations around us. And this word carefully, akrivos, means to watch out for danger, but more than likely refers to conformity to a norm or a standard. That's interesting. So as we live our Christian lives, we are to be alert to the ever-changing environment around us, and that we have a standard as believers that we are to uphold and we are to live in this world. The word walk refers to behavior. So if you could say it this way, pay very close attention to the way that you behave. And the question is, why do we do that? Because when we go out the church doors this morning and we say to the world that we're believers, we are on their stage. They are watching us. They are watching how we act and how we interact with them. And so it becomes very important for us to watch our behavior. Just randomly thinking here from Ephesians, if it'll work. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. That's the salvation. We've all been called to salvation and to walk worthy. Part of our Trail Life motto is to walk worthy. We try to teach the boys that they have a responsibility to go out into the world, let the world see what a young Christian looks like, and they begin to ask questions. So to walk worthy, this is key because this shows up again and again and again, I think, in Ephesians, with all humility. It's not that, well, we are, in a sense, better than the world because we know God, but we are to walk worthy, but also walk humbly. And that brings the temperature down in our spiritual life so that if we're walking humbly, we're not going to be rude with people. We're not going to lash out at them. We're going to walk humbly, realizing the fact that we're only saved by the blood of Jesus, by what he did, and not by what we did. And so that causes us not only to be careful, but also to walk humbly. He goes on to write, and gentleness. Listen, you can't live the Christian life effectively if you're angry all the time. Because the lost world looks at that and says, well, if you're a Christian, that's how you act. Well, I don't want it. So it really is incumbent upon us to live. And look, he goes on to say, with patience. Now, in the Christian realm, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. That's just one verse. A second verse that pops up here is Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So as believers, before we get dressed every morning and we get ready for work, Paul's saying, look, when you get ready to go out into the world, you got to take off that old self. This is a daily thing. It's not, salvation is one and done when you've truly trusted him. But you take off your old self, and before you go out and engage in the world, you put on your new self. And that new self is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Let me give you another verse from Ephesians. Be imitators of God, therefore. Paul's trying to tell the people at Ephesus, you've got to live like you're a believer. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Look, this afternoon or tomorrow morning, when you get ready to go to work, your social areas, whatever it is, before you hit the door, before you get into the car, take a minute and say, Lord, help me to walk humbly. Help me to watch the environment around me. And help me to adjust in a godly way, not angry, not flippant, not all of these other things that could come along and derail our Christian walk. You are on a stage. I'm on a stage up here this morning. But when you leave here and you go out into the world, you're on a stage too. And how we interact with the world will reveal either Christ or it will reveal something else that's not very appealing. So Paul says, look, be very careful about your behavior. And by the way, this ties into verse 17 to know what the will of the Lord is. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. But now the big issue here is the challenge. So that's really the call. The call is for us to go to watch, and I tell you, the landscape changes quickly in life. You can be at Walmart, you can be at Schnucks, you can be anywhere, and you have these moments and opportunities to share or to reveal the love of Christ. Now, the challenge is, and this sounds so proverbial, like the book of Proverbs, not as unwise, but as wise. Asophos, which means not being wise or not being wise. So not as unwise. And the question is, what does that look like? Well, You get in a situation in life and you lash out at somebody. One woman years ago in my first full-time church told me, I'm just going to tell people exactly what I think. And I'm thinking, no, you shouldn't do that. You can actually, when you look at people, you can actually determine who they are by the way they talk. And when people talk the way that they do, believe them. And so you've got to be extremely careful. An unwise person will just be like a bull in a china shop and wrecking everything. That's not how we roll as believers. Remember, humility, gentleness, patience. Look, I get frustrated too. I get frustrated with the lost world. But God was frustrated with us before we came to Him too. And so we need to extend an olive branch of grace to them and not to participate with them, but to love them the way that Christ loved us. We want people to be saved. And I think this is what Paul's talking about. He's talking about we're out there in that world every day and we need to be wise. Don't be poor or careless in the way you live. The churches in America are littered with mistakes. Poor choices, bad decisions. But let me tell you this. No matter how messed up, God can take what was bad and flip it for good. That's the God I worship. That's the God you worship. So we don't want to be out there and be unwise. Harold Honer, in his commentary, I love his commentary. It's pretty thick, but well, anyway, I got to go back to this one first. This is how the unsaved walk. Either way they go, it's wrong. That's how the unwise walk. There it is. Harold Honer said this, "The opposite is true for those who are unwise, for they walk as though they despise or have no insight into God's plan." Every believer has a general idea of God's plan. Every believer, when you come to saving faith in Christ, God puts the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we have at least an inkling when we act unwise and we act foolish. And people see that and they say, "You're a Christian." Yes. It might be a good idea at that point to do something that's very hard to do. And that is to say, "I'm sorry, I should not have acted that way." And so this is how the unsaved act. But this right way, not as unwise, but as wise, sophos, which is where we get the Greek word sophia. Sophia comes from the word wisdom. It's found in the Old Testament. And so he's saying here, look, don't be foolish. Don't act out of rage. Don't let your emotions go out of control. Be wise. My stepfather, one time when I was spewing out great words of wisdom as a teenager, looked at me and he said, "Michael, it's better for people to think you're stupid than to open your mouth and prove it." Oh, it was probably something stupid. I was just spewing out great words of wisdom, but that stuck with me. That really stuck with me. But wise, pertaining to understanding, resulting in wisdom. The word sophos really means skillful insight. That's the meat of that word, skillful insight, to know the true nature of things. Surgery today, it's just amazing. I mean, it really is. The stuff that they can do now. Here's a doctor who has got a scope in there and he's able to see exactly what the situation is inside this patient. He is then able to skillfully remove the bad element that's inside the body and take it out. And that's exactly what this word sofa means. It means to have wisdom to understand, wait a minute, I see the situation, I know the situation, now I've got to prepare to respond the way God would respond. So we don't go out into the world and we just, you know what, and blow up and just make things worse. We go, okay, you know what, this person needs to know Jesus, I'm going to let that slide. Or this is how I'm going to act in this situation. I'm not going to over-respond, but I'm going to seek God's guidance in the situation. James writes it this way, James 3:13. This is important. I think it is. Who is the wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility. There's that word again. That comes from wisdom. When somebody's living a godly life, let's put it out there, somebody that's living a godly life reflects wisdom. How we live our lives before a lost world reflects wisdom or folly. And I think the goal of the Christian life is really to become more and more like Christ and less like the world. And that's a process. And let me just say this. Somewhere out there in your life in the next year, you're going to lose your temper. It's a given. It shouldn't be. It should be the exception, not the rule. But how you live your life is a reflection of how well you know God. Man, James writes it, look, the life, good deeds reveal wisdom. Here's another one. This is Philippians 1:9. And this is my prayer, Paul praying for the Philippian church, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight. So we focus on the Bible and God's word, and we want to go deeper with him. So that, and the purpose here, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ to the glory and praise of God. If you think about it for a minute, let's just think about this for a minute. You have a football player that comes into a huddle. And the quarterback's down there. He's looking at his band. He goes, X32 on three. And the X32 is the receiver that's supposed to get the ball, but he doesn't know the play. He didn't study the playbook. So he's in the huddle going, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So he goes out to the sidelines. He doesn't know the play, therefore he doesn't know the play is coming to him. It's impossible to live for God if we don't know his word. That means we have to spend time in it. And it says that you may go deeper in a relationship with God. Now, he immediately applies this. Not as unwise, but as wise. He immediately applies this, don't be unwise, be wise, and then applies it immediately. Listen to this, making the best use of time. To me, well, I'll tell you what the Greek says, exagarzazo, it's easy for me to say, is one word in the Greek language. And that means to do something with urgency. Make the best use. One word. Time is kairos, which points to a specific time. So as we're watching our behavior in the world and those situations come up, at that time, we need to be really fully engaged. There's been many opportunities that I've missed as a believer. But I'm getting better. To know, okay, wait a minute, maybe I should stop and say something here. But last year sometime, I had to go over to one of the members of the astronomy group that I'm connected with. His wife was dying. I had to go into the house, and she was in the bed, and she waved at me. She had oxygen. I wanted to stop and pray for her at the moment, but her husband kept pushing me out. So I said, okay, this is not the right time to do this. I got the 14-inch mirror, I think it was a 14-inch mirror, put it in my car, set in the driveway, and I prayed for her in the driveway. It could have been a disaster if I'd have stopped and said, well, I almost said his name, can I stop and pray at this moment? He was clearly not wanting me in there, and I totally got that. But sometimes, if we stop and do something, it may actually hinder the person. So he was pushing me out the door. And his wife did pass away, and our vice president said, Michael, maybe we should go over and pray, and said, I'm willing. But then he texted me back and said, maybe this isn't a good time, and he's a believer too. That's just one snapshot. We have to make the best use of the time that God gives us, because we're on the clock. There is a day when the clock will cease and we'll see Jesus. So those days, and I get it, we go through days, we punch a time card, work on sermons, visit people, all those things that come, and we just kind of forget that God gives us increments of time to be able to live for Him and to make wise choices. This is the DMZ in Korea. I've actually been there. This is a South Korean soldier. You can't see it probably in the picture, but he has a rifle there that's loaded. These soldiers watch that border constantly. They are very aware of the situation and the danger, because at any moment, North Korea could come in, and these soldiers have to be ready. I think we have 25,000 U.S. forces over there in South Korea. Most of them will be sacrificed within the first 24 hours of combat. That's why these guys are looking and watching, so that they can alert. And then, of course, we'd have to bring reinforcements in and hope that never happens. But within the first 24 hours, if North Korea invades, most of those U.S. Army personnel are in danger. But we have to show a force over there. And they're careful to look. They are constantly looking. They don't go, hey, man, let's play some cards. They are constantly watching that border, because you never know. They used to tell us in the Army, you never know when the balloon's going to go up. Well, that means you never know when action's going to happen. So we have to be very careful, because the days are evil. If you watch 1 hour of a news conference, and you can see that this world is evil. From the time I was a young pastor in diapers, the world has radically changed. Radically. It's getting more and more evil. And so when we go out into the world, we have to realize that we're surrounded. The good news is we have the Holy Spirit in us, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have to watch our behavior and seek God's will. We have to watch our behavior and seek God's will. And here is another warning from the Apostle Paul. Therefore, whenever you see therefore in Scripture, it always points back to something that was said. So Paul's been saying, watch your behavior, but use your time wisely, for the days are evil. Therefore, based on that premise of watching how we walk in the world, he says it again, do not be foolish. Now, very clear, do not be foolish. And we go to the Proverbs metaphors here. Foolish, wise. Acting crazy, acting normal. Do not, so I'm going to read this to you. Therefore, do not be foolish. Do not is a negative marker in the Greek language. And I know you look at it and you go, therefore, do not be foolish. But actually, the Greek says it this way. Therefore, do not. It's hard. It's strong. Do not do this. It's kind of like when a child's getting ready to do something, you go, do not. And you get their attention. Do not be foolish. Or as you read it in the Greek language, do not become foolish. This word foolish, aphron, means pertaining to not employing one's understanding and assessing the practical matter before us. So as we're out there living, we're supposed to be alert. We're supposed to look at the time that God has given us. We're supposed to react in that time in a way that would reveal wisdom. In other words, if you're out there and you got a situation you don't understand, always do something good. Always try to do something good, not bad. And I know sometimes it's very, very difficult. Peter O'Brien said in his commentary, the adjective foolish, like the reference to wisdom and folly in verse 15, has its roots in the wisdom tradition of the Old Testament. This really has, it reeks of the Old Testament Proverbs. It describes the fool who is careless, lacks understanding, and despises wisdom. I don't care what God's word said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it my way because I'm the captain of my ship. Lacks understanding and despises wisdom. He refuses to acknowledge dependence on God and acts foolishly and presumptuously. The person lacks discernment in practical living. Whenever you're faced with a situation, this is pastoral theology, this is just my thoughts on this. Whenever you are faced with a situation you do not know what to do, the best thing to do is something good. Because doing good reveals that you have wisdom. And sometimes it means not acting, but walking away. It's easy to do that. I mean, it's hard to do that. But when you're faced with a situation and something comes up and you go, okay, God, how am I supposed to handle this? You should be right then in communication with God, not trying to act on your own. Just say, okay, Lord, I see the situation. How do I act? That's what a wise person does. Little thing about foolish people for a minute. Proverbs 18:2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only expressing his opinion. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe the best thing is not to say what you want to say, because that could make the situation worse. So what I'm saying is when we go out the door this morning, start putting our time issue in front of us, and how we interact with people reveals our relationship with God. If we're just living our lives and doing whatever we want to do, that doesn't really reflect. We're going to make mistakes, but thankfully God can take a bad mistake and flip it for His glory and good. So that's positive there. I'm going to go back. The way of fools seem right to them. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But the wise listen to advice. There is a way that seems right to man, but it's totally opposite of God. We don't live like the world. We live like believers. And hopefully this is a pep talk. Oh, this is a good one. Of what use is money in the hand of a fool, since he has no desire to get wisdom? Jesus said it this way. What if I gain the whole world but lose my soul? I've lost everything. And I know you guys and gals, I know you want to live for Christ. I know I do. We're going to make mistakes. That's kind of a given. But when you're out there, just think about the minutes that God gives you each day. Think about, if you got a watch on, look at that clock and say, what does God want me to do in this minute? That's the warning. Do not be foolish. Learn to appreciate the situations that come into your life. And I guess the real issue here is don't blow it. If I could put it in simple terms. And if you do blow it, do this immediately. John, I'm really sorry. That's not who I am. Sally, I'm really sorry. I made a mistake. Shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me. Because that reveals to them that, wait a minute. He apologized. Or she apologized. That gives you a window back in. It doesn't excuse your action, but it does let them know that you at least acknowledge your action and realize that that action was wrong. We could all learn from that simple phrase, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And I know it's hard at times to do. Wisdom, verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Oh, pastor, that's really difficult. Well, it's kind of reminds me of that football player that didn't study the playbook, gets in the huddle and realizes, I don't know what I'm doing. That's your playbook. That's our playbook. How much time this last week did you spend in God's Word? Just curious. Don't tell me. I don't need to know. What about this week? If you read a chapter a day, that would be 300, how many days we have in a year? 365? That's 365 chapters. I didn't really research this, but that's a lot of chapters. We won't know how to react to a lost world or in our own lives if we don't know the playbook. That becomes critical. And I get it. You know, it gets difficult at times to read the Bible. I think the best way, at least for me, is I like hearing the Scripture. I like hearing the Scripture. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Max Anders, in his commentary, we must be very careful to live our lives rooted in wisdom. Absolutely. By the way, if you lack wisdom, James says, ask God for the wisdom that you need. Even in the moment. God, help me. I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to react. Kind of like when I was in that guy's house picking up that mirror. And I kind of looked at the situation. I said, it's not the time. Using our time wisely. You can't get tomorrow back. That's gone. Just yesterday, I was 23. Now I've lost all my hair, hearing's going. The will of the Lord is that we live carefully. This is one of them. Cautiously, always matching our lifestyles with the teaching of Scripture. It's not like we read the Scripture and you go, you know what, Lord, that's really hard to do, and I'm just going to lash out this guy or this girl. So the big question is, what is the will of the Lord? What is God's will? I took a minute and a half and I wrote down many things that I know were definitely the will of God this week. I timed it. I said, I'm going to set it for 1 minute and 30 seconds. And I wrote out many things in that minute and 30 seconds that I knew was definitely the will of God. You've heard me say this before. The will of God is pretty easy to know. There's some gray areas. But for the most part, you guys and gals know the will of God. Now, let's look. These are the ones that I wrote down in a minute and 30 seconds. We know it's God's will that we worship Him. Come to church on Sunday, we worship Him. We also worship Him during the week. Love others, we know that that's God's will. To serve Him in the church and in the world, we know that. Study the Bible, that's kind of a gimme. It's like in golf, when you're on the golf course and your putt's that far, just say, that's a gimme, go ahead and pick it up. Although one time I told a guy it's a gimme and he putted it and missed it. And I said, no, it's no gimme, go. We know it's God's will that we evangelize. We know it's God's will that and evangelize means to share the gospel. We know it's God's will that we care for the elderly, 2 Timothy. We know it's God's will that we do good works. We know it's God's will that we pray. We know it's God's will to be joyful. One pastor told his congregation one Sunday, he said, you all know what your problem is? You need to smile more. Let people know. In what I call my practice church, there was an elderly lady. She was our door greeter. I think it was Estelle. Yeah, it was Estelle. People would come into the church. She'd be like this. Welcome to our church. Estelle, can you smile a little bit? I am smiling. She was a good lady, but probably shouldn't been on the door. You need somebody smiling. Welcome. Come on in. Look, we should be the most joyful people in the world. Do you know why? We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We're on our way to heaven. Let's smile some. Be joyful. And I think that joyful is contagious among believers. Seek Him daily. Yes, yes, yes. Seek Him daily. Be kind. Be kind. My mom used to tell me, kill them with kindness. Yeah, something else about that. When I was learning to drive, my mom was in the car and I was on the interstate. I probably said this before, but. And there was a state trooper there and I was driving and I looked in the rearview mirror and my mom said, a person of integrity never has to look behind them. That stuck with me too. And of course, he didn't pull out, thankfully. Trust in Him. Whatever your situation is today, trust in Him. Just say, okay, God, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what's going on in my life. And I know there's a lot of that stuff going on. But God, I'm going to trust You. And we just trust Him. Be honest. Obey His word. I'll tell you what. Walk humbly, because I was working on the sermon. It just came up, humble. Walk humbly. That was just a minute and a half. You guys and gals basically know the will of God. It's not like a maze. Now, there may be times over here when you go, Lord, should I take this job? Should I buy this house? Should I marry this person? That one's pretty easy to figure out, the marriage person part. Should I marry this person? What does Scripture say about it? But buying a house, buying a car, those types of things, you have to kind of ask God, and if you're good with it, then you do it. I would say those are rare times. You guys and gals, I've known you for, 18 years now. I know you know how to act. I know that. So just do it. Just keep doing it. All right.